the Sustainable Hour.
For a green, clean, sustainable Geelong, the Sustainable Hour.
Good morning, listeners. We'd like to acknowledge that we're broadcasting from the land of the Wathaurong people, pay tribute to the elders past, present and those to come. We hope we learn to nurture the land half as well as they did for millennia before we came along. And finally, pay tribute to the great work that One Fire is doing in Geelong for reconciliation.
Decarbonisation is the great task of our generation, and we will be one of the first countries in the world to accomplish it, if not the first. Wouldn't it be great if Australia had a Prime Minister who was talking like that, sensibly, responsibly? As we know, sadly, we don't. But there is a country. Costa Rica does have a president, a new president, Carlos Alvarado. He said this last Wednesday in his inauguration speech. Luckily, we do have some local decarbonizers here on the ground, right here in Geelong, as well, as I read in the papers, elsewhere around the planet. The renewable energy industry now employs more than 10 million people worldwide. 10 million people. That's 10 million people who are in the business of taking us down to zero carbon. The decarbonization is happening, one solar roof and one wind turbine at a time. And that's what I call the revolution. It is, I see it, as a community rebellion. And it's really exciting to see now how our little town here is joining this revolution, this rebellion. And in the studio, I'm saying here, welcome to the Revolution War Room. We have a studio filled with people. I will introduce Dan Caudell first, because you were already in the studio 2 weeks ago talking about what's coming and so on. And then this Monday, the program was launched. And to me, a historic moment. In the future, maybe historians will be looking at this revolution. They'll be talking about it the same way as 50 years ago we talked about, you know, there was a rebellion happening. The youth was rising in Paris and there was people walking in the streets and so on. They'll be talking about in Geelong on the 14th of May, 2018. There was this historic meeting at Geelong Library. 200 people came together.
200?
And they made 300, this.
300.
300, yeah, because there were two meetings on the same day, wasn't it? Dan Caudell, welcome back.
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me. What an introduction that was, Mick.
Well, I'm trying to lift the energy around it, am I not? You know, because yeah. I think this is how we, this is a perspective we need to see this in. It's not just about my little roof and my solar. We're doing this together. Yeah. Climate change is happening, and it's a big issue, and we can't deal it, you know, one-on-one. We need to be together about this, and that's what I see the strength in this program. It's a community program.
It is, and it was amazing just to see the community in action and that real interest and engagement in what solar and batteries can do. So we launched the Geelong Community Solar Program. Massive response. Over 300 people came to the first events on Monday, and then we had another 100 on the event last night in Drysdale. So the community is just embracing the idea of this.
And it goes on and on, because you've organised how many meetings?
Oh, we've got 12 meetings over the next 4 weeks, so it's about a month-long roadshow.
It's a roadshow. It's a tour that you're having. And one of the stars of the tour, Alex, you are with us here in the studio. We had you on the phone last time. Welcome to Geelong.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and it's been an honor to work with Dan, Alicia, and a number of the other people around the town. And the people that have come out have just had such a great response. And I think you've interviewed a few on Monday yourself.
Yes, that's right. And maybe we should just throw ourselves right into listening to what people had to say. After you had talked, Alex, you talked for almost an hour, didn't you, with showing slides, and people had to think about what next, and people were signing up. How many people signed up at that first meeting, by the way?
Oh, about half the people that showed up actually signed up and placed an order
really?
There.
Yeah. So that's great.
But the key thing is that we made it simple for them. Right? Yeah. The presentation is all about really making it simple to understand how you can participate in this and how you can benefit. And there's different options for different folks. So, let's hear what they had to say.
Yeah, so I talked to three local residents, just randomly up with the microphone, right in their faces. Some said, no, I don't want to be on air, and so on. But Jen and Cheryl and Lindsay were happy to talk and tell us about why they had come to the meeting and what they got out of it.
I've been wanting solar for many years, and I came today because it needs to be simpler for me. And I found today absolutely fantastic. There's a lot of support, and I need someone to come around and advise me and tell me what to do, but I feel like they've got my best interest at heart.
They've confirmed everything I've done research on for 12 months. I'm building a house, it's nearly lock up, and I'm ready to roll. So they've basically confirmed the pain and suffering I've gone through, and I got sick of the greedy market out there where people, like I've had quotes from 4,500 to 10,000 for just inverters and panels. And I've done all the research, and it's just refreshing to sit here and know that all the hard work, but it's been a headache. And I've just not wanted to commit to anybody because I've just felt like I was going to be ripped off, and I would have been. So it's just a greedy marketplace. That's it.
We've been wanting to do it for a couple of years, the solar panelling and being sustainable. And this was just something that's urged us to come and have a look at it. We're very keen. Now all we have to do is find out our best situation. We want to do it. It's going to be better for us in the future. We know that. It's just a matter of we're void on having the expertise, and someone will help us, we're sure.
So did this presentation here change your mind or help you?
No, it's helped me, but it's still confusing. It hasn't changed my mind. We want to go ahead with it. It's just a matter of we need to sit with somebody to have a look at what we want, what's best for us. So it's a matter of we're going to go ahead. It's just a matter of now I'm going to give the lady a number. She can phone us back, and then we'll take it from there. If we can have someone come to her house and point out the places where a battery will sit and where maybe future batteries might go for that size, it's sounding perfect. Sounding perfect.
Said here at the end, Lindsay, and I can join that choir in a way of the confusion and the mistrust to some extent. Certainly the confusion over prices and what's a good product, what's a bad product, all that, you know. I think a lot of us normal residents who own a house with a roof on are a little bit just waiting for someone to come and help us. And in a way, that's what you offer you guys. And what I noticed that there was a lot of talk about at the meeting was the word trust. And maybe, Alex, you can explain to us, why is it we should trust you? I mean, in this room here, you represent the business, don't you? You are a businessman, basically. So how do we know that you're not ripping us off?
Well, essentially, we're a solar marketplace. So we help connect people to the best products, local providers, and payment options. And we negotiate on your behalf. So really, I think Dan can speak to the trust aspect a lot more. We've worked very closely with Dan and Geelong Sustainability to select the local solar companies that are participating, find the products that will suit different folks, and also have payment options that makes it easy for everyone to participate. So I'll hand it over to
Dan. Yeah, when we put the program together, it was really all about trying to make this process easy for people. And we knew that out there, finding a trustworthy installer is so, so difficult. Everyone's confused. And often the upfront price of getting solar is just a complete barrier, so it just stops people. So what we did was a heap of research out there as to all the different ways communities put these projects together. And we loved the way Alex and his team at Shine Hub approached this. And we've been able to form this great community program that actually addresses each of those barriers and can support people right from the get-go with information at the sessions and then right down to more detail with one-to-one consultations as well with the solar experts.
There's a lot of renters in town that are really happy with it too. So how are you able to offer or what are you able to offer them that other schemes haven't been able to?
The unique thing about this program is that we're also including what's called the Free System Solar Plan, and that's the first of its kind in Australia, and it's where we install solar and batteries on the premise for free. And everything's included in there. All the warranties, guarantees, replacement costs over time is fully serviced, and all the homeowner has to do, or renter if that's the case, is just buy the electricity that comes from that system at an agreed fixed rate. And so that rate is typically lower than what is being currently offered by the grid. And this is awesome for homeowners. It's a really easy way to get started without the upfront cost. But it's also really good for renters because we need to get the landlord on board. Without the landlord on board, you can't go and put anything on the house.
Yeah.
And so the landlords have a lot of peace of mind knowing that it's all covered.
Yeah. So how do you make anything out of that? If how does that all work in the end?
Mm-hmm. So it's underwritten by a financial institution, so it's very similar to like a personal loan or any kind of pay-as-you-go package. The main difference is that we've added in a component of servicing into it, and so that everything is fully serviced over time. There's no extra cost there. And also they pay for the power, not just for the loan. So it's based on how much power is being generated. And if it's a cloudy day or whatever, and it's not generating power, then the homeowner doesn't pay.
Yeah. So the loan is through your business?
It's a partnership we have with a renewable financing company. And so we handle the customer-facing side. They can provide the funds for that. We wrap it up in a nice, easy-to-understand package.
And it's the first time. So first time in Australia. Imagine that there were lots of hoops for you guys to jump through to make that happen.
There were. About 2 years in the making, we've been working on this program. And, yeah, lots of hoops to jump through, but worth it in the end because we launched it last year in November in the Adelaide programs. We ran kind of as a pilot. It was wildly successful. And then a few weeks ago, mid-April, we launched it nationally, and over 3,500 people registered their interest in 2 days.
I can understand why they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think in the interviews we had earlier, they were saying we'd been waiting for something like this. Trust word again. And you've got it's all covered with local installers doing the actual job and no maintenance work that they have to worry about. It's all looked after. So
the key thing is
for everybody. Really.
There's multiple options, right? So what we just talked about was just one option. It's called the Free System Solar Plan. People can also just buy the system up front, from a local solar company that's also been vetted by us and Geelong Sustainability, or just do a personal loan. So we don't want to pigeonhole people into a certain option. We want to just provide the different products and payment options so that each person can get what's best for them.
Yeah.
So tell me something. You showed a slide at the presentation which showed, all the different things that we have that use electricity. We have refrigerators, there's the lights, there's the Wi-Fi, the TV, clothes washer, and so on and so on. And I was thinking, yep, I have all these things. But quite a few of them at the moment in my house are running on gas. The heating, cooking, we have gas cooking, meaning a stove with gas, and there's the water heating, which may be a big one. So when you asked me the question, which size solar system do you want? I was thinking, we are at the moment, I looked at our electricity bills, we are using around 10 kilowatt hours per day. KWH, that's kilowatt hours, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're using around 10 of those per day. And that's only for a small solar system, according to the papers that you gave me here. But if I close my gas connection tomorrow, which I seriously want to, then how much extra do I need? I mean, there's the clothes dryer that we may buy. I haven't bought it, but we may. There's the heating, there's the cooking, there's the water. How much does that add up to? I need to figure that out so I know which kind of solar system I'm going to buy.
Yeah, so I think there's so many specific questions that every individual household is going to have. And we wanted to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to get that kind of tailored advice. So the second stage of coming to the info sessions, listening to the presentation, the second stage is then to have a one-to-one consult with the solar expert from Alex's team. And then they're able to really walk you through all of those sorts of queries that you might have and how are you going to work that out, Mick?
Okay. Yeah, now you sound a bit like a politician to me because you didn't answer my question.
Well, I might have to throw to Alex to
But just give me an estimate. What's a rough, what does if I, for instance, want induction electric cooking with this new fancy induction electricity stuff, what does that mean in terms of how many kilowatts do I go up per day just in average?
So, again, it depends on how you use it, right? If you're doing a slow cooker 8 hours a day and that's running all day long, that's maybe 10 kilowatt hours just for one day. If you're just using it for about an hour, it's about 1 to 2 kilowatt hours. So each burner is about a kilowatt or so.
All right.
And then running that for an
hour.
Now
we're talking. So on top of my 10, I can add 1 to 2, so I'm up to 12 once I've installed that one.
Yep, and then maybe with a dryer, it's usually about 3 kilowatt hours per cycle, something like that. You know, if you did a hot water heater, for example, if you did a heat pump, that'd be something like 1 to 2 per day. If you did a normal one, that'd be around 7 per day. So it really depends on what kind of appliances you're going to be getting.
Yeah. I get that.
But it's important for me to hear that it's not 20. Mm. You know, that it's 1 or 2 in at that level, because that means my 10 at the moment will, at the maximum, as I see it, go to 20. Yeah. But it won't go beyond that.
A typical family home with kind of electric appliances, not including heating in the winter, that can be really drastic popping up. But a typical family home with electric appliances would be 20 to 25 kilowatt hours a day, typically.
Okay. Right?
But it's always good to double check for yourself, because...
Yeah, that's where the one-on-one conversation with the local installer, that just really nails it for me. Because everyone has got, some houses have got lots of kids. It just varies from... There wouldn't be two households the same, I would imagine, in terms of the electricity usage. So that, after the sign on that conversation with the local installer, it covers it all, I reckon. Everyone would then know what they're looking for.
Dan, you did the switch yourself, didn't you, personally? You had solar on the roof now. You changed your stove, threw the gas out.
Absolutely,
So what was your experience?
It's been great. Best thing I ever did. We switched all the appliances to electric, put an induction cooker on, an electric heat pump for the hot water, and installed split system air cons for our heating and cooling. And I can run the whole house from our solar system. So we generate more electricity than we actually need for the whole home. So we're a carbon positive, I suppose. Is that the right way to say it? I'm not sure. but it's very environmentally friendly. And the current sort of thinking is, if you're building a new home, why would you actually connect gas? Because gas is not as cheap as what we actually thought it was.
It's a fossil fuel as well.
Totally.
And it's every time they try to say it's... The fossil fuel industry tries to say that that's a bridging fuel on the way to renewables, but it's if you look at fugitive emissions, it's just as bad, if not worse, than coal. So, you know, that's another bit of greenwash that we face every day.
And at the moment, gas is the reason that our emissions here in Australia is rising every year. It should be going down, but it's rising. The news just came out that the third year in a straight row now, Australia's emissions have been rising, and LNG, meaning gas, is a major contributor to that. And this is why we need to get off gas, because the businesses apparently are just going to keep selling it to us and keep burning. The only proper response to that stupidity, which it is to get off. Life will be better and even safer. I met someone at your meeting there on Monday who said, I'm getting off gas, actually not because of the price, but because I'm afraid of it. You know, elderly people can forget that the gas stove is on. Kids can be gassed in the night if they sleep in a room where there's suddenly a leakage. Terrible stories about what gas does.
Yeah. Mick, I think when we put this program together... One of the things I realise is that every community has a kind of different motivation for wanting to be involved in something like this. And, you know, down in the Surf Coast, there was the Anglesey coal mine, which has since been shut down. And, you know, we partnered with the Surf Coast Energy Group to run some programs down there. And you know, the Colac region's got a whole different mindset again. And then we've got the Ballerine Peninsula of Geelong, and this fantastic community idea for moving to 100% renewable energy. So maybe it's a really good time to chat to Alicia.
Yeah, exactly. So let's introduce our third guest in the studio. Alicia Brown from a great name, which is 100% clean Ballerine. It rhymes even.
It does. It's very catchy.
It is.
So we've launched 100% clean Ballerine within the last couple of months. We've got an ambitious goal to create a pathway to 100% renewable energy for the Ballerine Peninsula. The very first initiative we've become involved in is the Geelong Community Solar Program. Obviously, increasing the uptake of solar across the Ballerine Peninsula, or rooftop solar, is going to be a really useful first step for us in that pathway. We also have a funding application pending with the City of Greater Geelong. It's a small funding opportunity, but it will allow us to do a very high-level business case to understand the energy demand across the Bellarine Peninsula. So we're eagerly awaiting the outcome of that application, and we've managed to attract a really high-quality group of people to our action group. So we're busily putting that energy towards promoting the Geelong Community Solar Program at the moment, but we're also working in the background to build relationships with key community groups across the Bellarine Peninsula and other partners such as Barwon Water. So we'll be working towards establishing a reference group that's truly representative of the Bellarine Peninsula community. And then we'll be, when we manage to attract more funding, we'll be doing some really in-depth community consultation to understand the region's attitudes and needs and priorities with regards to renewable energy.
This is what I keep hearing, the word community, and this is a real, all of this is a real community building program.
Yeah.
It's just bringing communities together. People have a feeling they have a say and it's being listened to. And that's yeah, that's one thing that's been lacking. Yeah. I think in, for a long time is that community feel.
And I think it's representative in, you know, Alicia's event that 100% Clean Bellarine are promoting down in Barwon Heads. You know, that community is so engaged. There's over 70 RSVPs, I think, now for that one down there. So it just shows there's such interest. It's really exciting.
I noticed there's a little town up in the north of Victoria which is heading for 100% renewables. They've made the decision and they seem to think that they can do it by 2022. That's Yakandanda. Dan, you've been talking to people there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a fellow, Matthew, up that way that has just really energised the whole region. He's going door-to-door almost, talking to residents, talking to small businesses and encouraging them to make the switch to renewable energy and even trialling a microgrid now. So they're setting up a sharing of energy where the whole street and suburb can all have solar and batteries, and then they can share the energy between them. So what a great way to replace big energy.
And it's easier and easier to do that with smart grid setups and the whole thing.
Alex.
These developments are really exciting because it's the future of energy. And some pilot projects are happening around the country to kind of prove this concept and get through some of the regulatory hurdles that are preventing this from being a reality right now.
I mean, the connection of houses, that houses are not allowed to create these mini grids as it is?
Well, so right now, the houses are all connected through the grid, right? And if you're building a brand new development or something, then you can do this very easily. But if you're already using the existing grid, then that grid is owned by a private company. And so there's a bit of a negotiation happening there where that private company wants to kind of take as much money as they can, and where the community wants to share that as affordably as possible.
Yeah, of course we do want to share it. You know, wouldn't it be nice if I could share with my neighbors? You have a little extra, I take it in, I pay you a little bit, because we don't want to rip each other off.
Exactly. And so what we need to, is the, for the existing grid providers who do the poles and wires to come on board with that. And these are what these pilot projects are doing. In terms of our community program here with Geelong, this is the future that we're building towards. And step one of that is to make your own power on your home or small business and have battery storage to be able to share that in the future. And then step two and three is to start connecting together into these virtual networks and communities to be able to do virtual power plants or peer-to-peer sharing or gifting to your neighbors or friends or whatever it may be. And once we do that, then we can fill in the gaps with more locally produced renewable energy through solar or wind or bio, whatever it may be, so that people that don't have a roof or can't go solar for whatever reason can still participate in this. And at the end of that, we'll be able to be much more self-sufficient and self-governing. And we won't have to rely on basically the rules of others to determine our local community future.
Yeah, and it's not being taken or transported tens of, maybe in some case, thousands of miles to and lose its a lot of the energy along the way. The big power companies have really brought this on themselves. It hasn't been an energy democracy. They ran the show, but that's what this is all about, energy democracy. people having a say in what they use.
The really exciting part about this program is that, you know, with the frustration with big energy companies and the dictating of the rules over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and the prices going up and all the rest of it, people are really excited at the prospect of, in the near future, having a much more locally decision-making process. So the people that are actually using the energy are making the energy, and we can decide on this together what our future is, not what someone else dictates to us.
Yes, very attractive. And I think that's a message wouldn't be all that difficult to sell at the meetings that you're running at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's much more just educating, right? And yeah. A lot of people think it's, you know, all this is a whole sales thing. It's about educating what the technology is, how it works, how you can benefit, and how we can come together to create an even bigger benefit. And, you know, people just sign up on their own because they want this future, right? It's a better future, and it's something that we've been waiting for, almost like we've been waiting for someone to come save us. And, you know, the Geelong Sustainability Group and Clean Ballerine and a lot of other partners, once we started socializing this idea, it just started going bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're saying, yes, we want this. We're waiting for this. Thank you. And it's just awesome to see the results.
And let's take a listen to what was said at the meeting. It was great to see that council is supporting this. Sarah Mansfield, who's a councillor, she gave a beautiful little speech, I think, about what council is doing, but also why council would want to support something like this. Vicky Parrott, who is the president, opened the meeting. And we also hear a little clip from what you were saying at the meeting there, Alex. Let's take a listen.
As most of you are aware, we can cut our electricity costs by using the latest solar and battery technology. So we're here to find out about how and what. And in the process, as a community, we stand to benefit both economically, socially and environmentally. And isn't it great fun to replace big energy with community solar? So shortly I'll be introducing our keynote speaker, Alex from Shine Hub, who is the solar expert in the room, along with many of his other team who are here to help later. He's going to show us how we can switch to clean energy. But before we hear from Alex, I really am delighted to say that Councillor Mansfield has been able to come along to attend and officially launch this event and start our program off on behalf of the city. And it's really appropriate that Sarah is able to come today because she's not only the councillor for Brownville, but she's also the chair of the Sustainability and Environment Portfolio. I'd like to welcome Sarah to the microphone.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be here, and it's great to see so many people who've shown an interest in this program here this afternoon. It's a pleasure to speak this afternoon on behalf of Council in my role as the Chair of the Environment and Sustainability Portfolio. I'd also like to acknowledge the Wadawurrung people, the traditional owners of this land, and Council pays our respects to their elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are part of the City of Greater Geelong today. The City of Greater Geelong is committed to protecting our environment and reducing energy use. We are proud to be one of just three certified One Planet Living councils in Australia, and we achieved this certification in part through our zero carbon emissions strategy. This aims to halve our emissions by 2020 and to reach zero carbon emissions by 2050. To help us meet these targets, we're upgrading our existing buildings to zero carbon energy buildings, and we're making energy efficiency a key consideration in all new infrastructure that we build, and so we should. The environmental benefits are obvious, and I think everyone here would appreciate that, but there are also significant economic benefits for us as a council and for ratepayers. So as an example, earlier this year we installed 300 solar panels on the roof of LeisureLink in Warren Ponds, and that's estimated to be saving council over $200,000 a year. While we recognise our role as council is to show leadership in this area, we also need to support others in our community in adopting measures that will reduce our emissions. Council buildings and our infrastructure are only one small part of this municipality. We need as many people in the community to reduce their emissions as well, and we need to be doing what we can to support them to do this. A key way of doing this is by partnering with community groups such as Geelong Sustainability, who are doing such important and valuable work. We're pleased to support the Geelong Community Solar Program as it fits neatly with our vision for a clever and creative future and our zero carbon emissions strategy. By switching to solar and battery, community members can control and lower their individual energy costs and contribute to a cleaner and greener environment for everyone. And as a new mum, I certainly feel an even stronger need to address climate change quite urgently. And so it's really heartening to see wonderful community-based programs like this one taking off. So to the teams at Shine Hub, Geelong Sustainability and other community partners, congratulations on this initiative and the best of luck with the program. And to everyone who has come along today, thank you. And I hope you find the event informative. Thanks very much.
So why are we doing this? Geelong Sustainability is a not-for-profit organisation. We're now also a registered environmental organisation and a charity. And our mission is about informing, inspiring and connecting. And this event and this program certainly does all of that. We want to boost the uptake of renewable energies in our region, and we also want to assist residents to better understand the options so that they can make informed decisions. We've had the desire to do a bulk buy on our strategy plan for quite a number of years now, because we could see the benefits for the community. But we also realise that there are a number of challenges. Trust is one big issue. Who do you trust? Will they do the right thing? Will they be there next year if I have a problem? All of those things. So it had to be a reputable solar installer. And then there's the confusion over the technology. It gets complex quite quickly in which inverter and which battery and which solar panels. So we needed the technology, the hardware, to be very highest quality, and we know so that it would perform for the long term. And then there's also the upfront cost, which is a big hurdle for a lot of people. And we wanted to try and see if we could overcome that barrier, because we don't want people left behind when it comes to the clean energy revolution. So we had some aims when it came to how are we going to overcome these challenges. We're very lucky we've got a very dedicated core task group, the Community-Owned Renewable Energy Group, and they set to work doing a whole lot of research and investigation on all of the models that are available around the country. So they spent 6 months researching what different communities had done and how successful it had been. And so their decision at the end and their recommendation to our committee was that Alex and the Shine Hub team had by far the most effective and productive model. And so we were delighted to be able to form a partnership with Shine Hub. One of some of the things that we like in that partnership is that we're able to refer local accredited solar installers to the program and have them become part of the delivery. And we're able to work on the solar packages and the purchase options and make sure that the technology solutions were going to be appropriate. And then we've been able to, as you'll see by the little flyers around, we've been able to spread this program around our whole region, so not only City of Greater Geelong, into the Surf Coast, Golden Plains, Colac Otway, and in doing that we're also working with a number of other community groups. So we're really pleased that we've been able to build up this community program, and we think we've got a very excellent process with easy to understand materials, and you'll have access to expert one-on-one consultations. So this program where we can all benefit by becoming people-powered through the group discounts and the variety of solar. And I know a number of you are here. I've got the solar, I want the batteries. So, you know, there's a number of options as far as it. But by far one of the most innovative options is the no upfront payment. And Alex will be telling you more about that. So the program has quality built into every step, utilising only battery-trained and certified local solar installers, independent engineering for each system, a quality assurance process, and an extra layer of warranty protections. So this is a very important first step in our effort to make our community energy a reality, and that we can all power our lives with solar, and together step forward in a clean energy future. So without further ado, I'd now to invite Alex Giorgio from Shine Hub to the microphone. Alex is a home energy expert with experience across virtually every area of the industry, ranging from energy efficiency, smart home gear, to the latest solar and battery technologies, working in this field for over 10 years. He co-founded and is director of Shine Hub, where he's responsible for online customer service and managing customer communications. Could you join with me in making him welcome, Alex?
There's a new horizon, a new thing we can do together with the battery technology and by connecting everyone together. And overall, we can summarize that by replacing big energy with community solar. For the longest time, we've had options between electricity companies, but they haven't been all that good. You're kind of swapping between the same thing over and over again, kind of playing by their rules because they're generating the power. And so we want to flip that on its head. And as a company, as Shine Hub, we started our company to be able to fix some of the issues that people have had going solar in the past, picking a number of those earlier, and be able to share that with everyone who wants to participate.
The Sustainable Hour.
For green, clean, sustainable Geelong, the Sustainable Hour.
Connecting everyone together. That's the business we're in here in the Sustainable Hour. Connecting people from around the world. We heard 10 million people now are working, making a living from building this renewable, this clean energy world that we are about to enter. And we've heard now Shine Hub and Geelong Sustainability, how they work here locally in Geelong. But let's try and lift the helicopter up and take a look out in the world, because we are privileged to have three guests from around the world, from Ghana, from Iran, and from El Salvador in the studio, who are not just guests here in Geelong, but you are students studying English at the Deakin University. Welcome to the Sustainable Hour.
Thank you.
And before I introduce you, or maybe you should do that yourself, actually, if we start with you, Philip, from Ghana.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Philip Japon from Ghana, West Africa. I'm here to do Master's in Construction Management.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your background? You work with architecture? Or?
Yeah, I was an architect, practicing as an architect in Ghana, back in Ghana.
Yeah. Is these things that we talked about that you've heard Dan and Alex and Alicia talk about up on your radar in Ghana?
Yeah, and today I'm very happy to be part of this program because seriously, back in Ghana, there's a serious problem about energy. We have problem about energy because our major source of power has to do with hydropower. And there's always shortage of power in Ghana, because we don't concentrate on the other form of energy. And the solar paneling is something that is being introduced in Ghana, but there's a perception out there that the initial capital is very expensive. So a lot of people don't really want to get into it. It's only those who are rich who are involved into it.
Hmm. So yeah. there's some ideas there.
Yeah,
how is that perspective in El Salvador? And what do you work with?
My name is Osmani. I'm from El Salvador. Please don't confuse. El Salvador is a country, but also is a city in Brazil. But I am El Salvador is in Central America. Okay. In El Salvador, like many countries from tropical weather, we have many resources from renewable energy, like geothermal and hydroelectric. But solar energy is it's a trend in this moment in El Salvador because we have a lot of sun.
Exactly. And now we have Costa Rica. It's sort of in your region, over there. And this new young president, he's only 38 years old, who is giving this announcement that I told in the beginning of decarbonization. Isn't that powerful? Is that also in El Salvador, that sort of talk?
It's not like a Costa Rica. Costa Rica has just a little more. They are careful about the environment. Honestly, Costa Rica has many good things about the environment. They have eco-friendly tourists and they have many resources. It's a small country, but it's very developed in this thing. El Salvador, yes, is the same weather, the same resource. But maybe it's just a little different. Yes, it's just a little different.
So you work with engineering as well, industrial engineering.
I'm industrial engineer.
Is renewable energy coming into that space?
In this moment, maybe not exactly renewable energy. In this moment, no. Some countries, because if you imagine El Salvador, and El Salvador is a small country, but we are a region, it's all Central America. And Central America, in general, they are introducing wind energy, but not in all the countries. But
so there's some ideas here that you can bring home about the revolution that we're feeling, yes, that it is for the community, where it's the community that takes over. Now, in Iran, what does it look like there? I'm looking now at you, Puria.
Puria, yes. I'm from Iran, and my background is I have mechanical engineering from Iran, and I've been studying architecture in Australia for the last 5 years. In Iran, the situation is that because Iran is a vast country, so we have different environments. We have mountains, we have deserts, we have seas. And the thing is that, for example, we have a city in Iran called Manjil. Many of people in the environment might have heard of it. This city has been running on wind turbines for last 40 or 50 years. And wind turbines are just the sources of the electricity generating for that city. So, which is very enthusiastic. And the thing is that recently they're introducing some solar farms in center of Iran because they recognize that they have direct sunlight over there. So why not use it? Because they have vast area over an open area, and they just can put and produce some solar farms over there, so they can generate big cities' electricity like Isfahan, Shiraz, and they might even be able to use it to sweeten the water, you know, because they can just get the salt out of the water with the heat comes from the solar energy, and just bring sweet water to those cities, which lack of sweet water and drinking water.
When I hear Iran, I think of oil there. So what you're saying is that there's a movement away from reliance on oil?
There might be, but the thing is that, as you know, for example, Iran is one of the owners of the biggest gas resources in the world. Maybe first or second gas resources, owner of the gas resources in the world, and also the oil. But as we know, because of the governments, because those source of energies are very cheap for them, they don't have any, you know, they don't want to change it to any sort of sustainable energies because they don't have any benefit in that. Because as we know, for example, as the guys were talking about, it's all about the community. It's not about the government. The government haven't done anything regarding these sort of, you know, contributions for green sustainable energies. It's just the communities. So based on that, I don't think that they won't have, they will be any intention from the government to do so.
But change is on the way. We certainly feel that when we hear Ian Dunlop talk. Ian Dunlop used to be the chair of the coal industry in Australia. And after he retired from that job, he has been an advocate for change. So much that he's out there now really talking seriously about what we need to do if we want to get off the fossil fuels.
Yeah, well, he was head of the International Coal Association, and he's currently CEO of the Australian Institute of Company Directors. So we had a chat at, there was an event, a Lighter Footprints event in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, and we had a chat. Ian gave us some time after it, and it was fascinating what he was saying.
Yeah, because he talks about solutions to these big picture issues that we're talking about here, when we talk about the climate emergency.
Yeah, really good to hear him talking about the role that drawdown has. Like, the science is saying more and more now that it's not going to be enough to get to zero carbon. We have to draw down what's already up in the atmosphere. And just, we have so much potential in Australia. And as he said, at the moment, it's not cool. Anyway, let Ian talk.
Okay. Here we go.
Carbon capture and storage is not new. It's been around since the 1970s. Within the oil and gas industry, it's accepted practice, and it's been done for a long time. I was doing it myself in the 70s in the North Sea in the UK. But moving to the scale we now require to sequester the carbon emissions from the global economy is going to require the establishment of an industry which is probably bigger than the current world oil industry. And we have to do it in very short time, within the next sort of 10 or 20 years. Now, all of the initiatives that have been taken, the projects that have been set up to expand carbon capture and storage, if one is brutally honest, have not worked. There are some operations where the CO2 is being stored in old gas reservoirs or oil reservoirs, but storing it in other areas on any scale has just not worked. And we have to be brutally honest about that fact and stop pretending that this could become the panacea for all our ills in the second half of the century. I mean, what we're doing is classic, what in legal terms is called moral hazard. In other words, we're saying that we will develop solutions to solve this existential threat, which we can put in place in the second half of the century, when none of the technology we need is in existence today. That is just to allow the fossil fuel industry to keep going in the future in the way it's done historically. And that, frankly, is just suicidal. It is not acceptable.
Paul Hawken was in Australia recently, and he talked about, with his, promoting his book Drawdown, and he talked about that, the 100 ways in which we could draw down carbon to the extent that's needed. That's not saying we keep putting carbon up there, but he was saying we stop carbon and draw down. Now, 8 of the top 20 were to do with the way we manage the land, farming, regenerative farming, etc. Do you have any faith in that, that system to be part of the solution?
Yes, I think it's a critical part of the solution. And a lot of work is going on in this country and has been for quite a long time to implement that sort of thing. But the trouble is all at too small a scale, and it's too fragmented. I mean, individual people have been achieving great success. Mm-hmm. What we've got to do is to build it to the point of a national activity, which is seen to be an absolute priority in the way we're trying to address climate. And that requires our political leaders and our corporate leaders to accept that climate change is real, that the risk is existential, and the risk is immediate in the sense that we have no carbon budget left from now on to stay below the 2 or 1.5 degrees C temperature limits that the scientists have been telling us we have to meet. Now, that means that every ton of carbon that's put into the atmosphere from now on has got to be drawn down in the future. And it is completely nonsensical to continue to put up large amounts when we don't have the technology to draw it down yet. So we have to get that established. And the agricultural options are certainly one of the key ways in which we can do it. But it requires acceptance of the size of the problem at political level to refashion our policies. And at the moment, we have no climate or energy policy that is worthwhile speaking of. It's basically smoke and mirrors designed to satisfy ideology of the right wing of our conservative government.
This is what Ian Dunlop tells us, and I believe this is why it's not an ideology anymore. Even though I'm talking about words like revolution and rebellion and so on, it's not about ideology as such, is it? And I'm looking here at this team of people who practically on the ground are making this happen.
It's about creating a better future. And we're sick and tired of waiting for big business or government to bring the solution for us. We've been seeing how that's been going back and forth, and we're getting worse and worse and worse. And so, you know, our partnership here is to get people together, leverage people power, and do it ourselves.
Yeah. Alex, I reckon we might have found some international business for you if you're interested with these guys talking about what's possible down the track. So maybe that's something for you to look at down the track. But really exciting, lots of nodding heads in the studio today, lots of energy, positive energy, which is it's a real fillip against the doom and gloom that so often gets poured out in this space. So it's terrific.
Just as we're rounding off, some advice to people who've been listening in terms of what can they do. There's still meetings being held, there's websites, and if they miss all that, then what?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of events to still be able to get along to and learn how this works. And I think just from my point of view, we've got to each independently do what we can do. You know, it's not enough just to sit around and wait. So come along to the event, get involved, make a personal action yourself. Tonight we've got the event at 6:30 at the Lara RSL, so come along to that. And you can also visit the website, so go to shinehub.com.au/Geelong, and you'll be able to see the full list of events coming up over the next 3 weeks.
And if you can't make those events, there are phone consultations available after June 8th until June 30th. So we want to make sure that everyone can participate if they want to.
And the thing is, there is a deadline. You said June 30 is the deadline? Because of why? Because you're doing a bulk buy or something?
Exactly. So all the orders need to be in by June 30th, and that way we can get that bulk order discount by buying all together. So people coming together and getting a benefit.
How many can you handle, Alex? Is there too much?
We're projecting somewhere around 200 to 240, based on the response so far, it could be far greater than that.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you had 300 at the meeting the other night. And I guess an expression of interest doesn't always become an action, but it's a great start. I reckon you'll be well over 200.
Yeah, well, that's part of the process, too, is an engineering review to make sure it is a good fit for each person that wants to participate.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I'm sure we'll be back on the air in a few weeks to let you know how it's progressing.
Yeah, more than welcome.
Thank you so much for coming in today. It was great to have such a full room. And it wasn't a war room, it was a peace room, wasn't it?
Could I just put one final request in for 100% sure. Clean Bellarine? We're very much a grassroots organisation. It's all volunteers. We'd really love to hear from people on the Bellarine Peninsula or even from Geelong or elsewhere who would be willing to be casual volunteers. So if they'd like to contact us, our email address is 100cleanbellarine@gmail.com. If you put the word volunteer in the subject line and provide your name, hometown and phone number, we'll include you in calls we put out for just casual volunteer assistance. Mm.
And that, I know from experience, just how rewarding being a volunteer for something like that is. Mm. You end up with this sparkle in your eye.
I'd also like to thank the volunteers that have come forward so far. It's just been incredible to have their support.
Yep, that's what most groups are finding when the product they're selling is good, is well thought out. They can trust that. Yeah, people come in droves.
Exactly. We usually end the show with saying, some people say it's an old Gandhi quote. We say, "Be the change." This has been a full hour where we've been saying that. With everything we've been saying, it is about being that change. And this quote about decarbonization being the great task of our generation, this is where it begins. This is right here and right now, and it's happening locally in Geelong. Fantastic to have you people in here who are doing it, making it happen, helping us so that we can get on board and share that community feeling that you're talking about so much, Alex. Thank you for coming to the Sustainable Hour. We'll be back in a week with yet another. Number 217 is coming up next week. For now, we say together,
be the change.
Now buckle down and start building up that better world that you would rather live in. What are you waiting for? There's no time to waste. Now pick up your spade and dig in. The tables are turning. Oh, oh, oh. Rooted to the spot in future-proof, proper put sign. Good to see you sweat and work hard. What are you waiting for? Where are you aiming to run? It's time to play our last card. The tables are turning. Look up and you'll see. The tables are turning. Change, we can make a change. We can make a change, we can make a change. We can make a change, we can make a change. We can make a change, we can make a change. Now buckle down and start building up that better world that you would rather live in. What are you waiting for? There's no time to waste. Now pick up your spade and dig in. We can make a change. Thank you. good side. You need to see you sweat and work hard. What are you waiting for? Where are you aiming to run? It's time to play our last card.